Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that before the foundation of the world, you'd prepared all things, Lord. They were all laid out already. And Lord, you knew by your foreknowledge, Lord, how everything would go and how it would be. Lord, you left nothing to chance. You were in control of all things all the time. Nothing happened that surprised you, Lord. And we're so happy, Lord, that that's the God we serve. Lord, we're so happy that you have come and made yourself one with your bride today. Lord, may you just let us understand more and more what that means. Help us today in the service, Lord. Bless those that are sick, Lord, and are away. Pray you'll help them, Lord, and keep them, that they recover quickly, Lord. And they've already went through so much sickness. Help them, Father. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Before we get started, I had a quote that I didn't put in the message, but I'll try to remember to stick it in there before. But the subtitle today was The Wisdom of God. And as we get further down in here, you'll understand that. But I wanted to read this one real quick before. Brother Branham's talking about predestination. Every time he mentioned predestination when he wasn't in Jeffersonville, he would start explaining it a lot of times. Not every time. And so here he is. He's not in Jeffersonville. He's at a businessmen's meeting at the breakfast. And he says, now, but the word when I use it, and this is from Trying to Do God a Service Without It Being His Will, paragraph 132. But now the word, I'm sorry, that was its report. I said businessman. Now the word, when I use it predestinated, don't think that that's the only word I know how to make it. It's God's foreknowledge, see? He knowed. He can't say, He died that all might be saved. Now, you wouldn't believe how many arguments get started just around that. That God did not say, didn't die for everybody. And there's a truth to that, that he didn't die for everybody. But there is a truth that he did die for everybody. And so, and when we don't stop and let the Lord talk to us, let him put it in our hearts, that's where all these arguments start. Going one direction and one going the other direction. That might be saved. He did. He did die for everybody, that they all might be saved. But by his not foreknowledge, he knew who would and who would not. He knew who would accept him and who would not accept him. Not that they was able to, not that they was able to do anything, but he knew. And see, and by that, knowing that, that was the wisdom of God. He knew what was what. When he looked down there in Cain, he looked down there in Abel, he knew what was in their hearts. And so one got the revelation and one didn't. Because he knew what was in their heart. That was his wisdom, his righteousness, his pure judgment. He knows. And so we trust in that. That's the wisdom of God. And now down, Brother Branham said, down through the ages, we've saw the wisdom of God as he has made it known. He's pointed out what Pharaoh was, and he pointed out what Moses was. He goes on down. He points out who Judas is, and he points out who Christ is. And he goes on all down through the ages. He's doing it. And but we want to talk about that a little bit and some other stuff. So let's start in the quotes I sent. This is from Why It Had to Be Shepherd. When the great shepherd was smitten, the great sheep prophet, when he was smitten back there, he said, it is finished. What's finished? Now, this is something that I always couldn't understand, why there was all this seven church ages of redemption when he said it was finished right there. Now, let's think about it a little bit. He said, it is finished. And that minute, as soon as the shepherd was smitten, it was over. As soon as it was smitten. So what's all these seven church ages about? Why did we need 2,000 more years? Because right then it was done. Sin is settled. There was no more sin. But there, the question is settled. In God's mind, it's settled. There is no more sin standing between. They were clean. The penalty was paid. We were clean right then. So it still makes you wonder, what about the redemption? The believers whose names were written in the book of life, predestinated from the foundation of the world, it was finished the very minute that Jesus said it was finished. He, the great shepherd, had come for his sheep. And what did he say in Christ, the mystery of God revealed? What did he say the whole Bible is? It's the mystery of Christ revealed. And in here, he's saying right here, the very first thing he said he was going to do was have preeminence in Jesus. And that's what he's saying right here. He, that great shepherd, had come for his sheep. God had come for his sheep. Now we're starting to see the mind of God here. Not just types anymore. We're seeing it taking place now. He, that great shepherd, had come for his sheep. It was finished. God's right hand was pulled from his bosom, smitten. Then on Easter, he returned it, raised it up again to his bosom, and extended it down to you and I. So when he pulled it, remember when the type that he gave in Moses, when he told Moses to stick your hand in his robe and pull it back out, and it was leprosy. And he put it back in and took it back out, and it was clean. That's what he's talking about. This is the manifestation of that, not the type anymore. And extended it down to you and I in the form of his word to redeem us back to the original garden from which sin took us from. The hidden secret of his great heart was revealed by a prophet shepherd. He's still preaching that message, Christ the mystery of God revealed. You can't preach without preaching it. The hidden secret of his great heart was revealed by a prophet shepherd. It was brought to pass, not just in types anymore. It was brought to pass. It was revealed by a shepherd, prophet shepherd. Now let's start to answer that question a little bit. Now this is the quote that I tried to find here a while back, and I hunted for hours and couldn't find it. But when I wanted to preach this message, I found it the first search I made. So I guess I wasn't supposed to use it before then, so it's here now. And the body must follow the head. The body of Christ must follow Christ. As the wife follows the husband. See, she can't follow anything else. She has to follow her husband. That's all. It's ordained that way. Being that Adam was not deceived, he walked out with Eve. He's giving you some types. Eve was deceived. She was in the transgression. Or the entire resurrection. Now listen. On the day that Christ was resurrected, how come everybody else didn't follow him and be resurrected right then? That's what he's saying. Because the body always follows the head. And we're the body, Christ. So why didn't the whole body follow him out of the grave that day? That's what he's saying right here. Because none of them had that body that he was walking around in. They were Saul, but they weren't in a glorified body. Our entire resurrection of the whole body would have came forth at that day. She was in that. So he's showing the type and showing why, being a type of Eve who was deceived, something else has to be done. So he paid the price. He done said that. She was clean. But she don't know she's clean yet. She don't know what she is yet. It's still sealed up in the book. God just has started to open it and show it to people. He was in the transgression. She was in the transgression, sorry. Or the entire resurrection of the whole body would have come forth at that day of the Lord Jesus when he come forth from the grave. Now, I am not saying that they didn't resurrect. There was a resurrection back there. But I'm saying they didn't come out in glorified bodies. Forth at that day of the Lord Jesus when he come forth from the grave. But he had to redeem her. I thought he said he just said he redeemed her. She was done. See, you can get all confused and get going every which direction if Lord don't just lay it in our laps. Yeah. Me included. The prophet included. Brother Bram said he would be preaching something and the Lord would open it to him that he should say, and he and himself might not agree with it, and he would say it anyways. You see that? That's what we have to lay ourselves aside. You have to lay yourself aside to take him. Have come forth on that day. Okay, but he had to redeem her, which is his body. She was to be redeemed in order to come to him. See, so not only did he have to pay the price, but he had to get to her who she was and who he was, or she couldn't come to him. She couldn't recognize him. If you lived in a country where I don't know what happened in India years and years ago, but I know now that the parents still choose, their mates and things. And so if you think about it, if you never saw that mate, somebody would have to tell you who it was. Son, here is your wife. I'm showing you this is her. Somebody has to do it. And you have to be able to recognize. You have to have eyes to see. Amen. And know it. See? And so not only did God have to pay the price and you was clean, he had to get that to you. Had to get it to you because she was deceived. See? And the bride is ignorant. We're going to read that. The bride was ignorant back then. And there's some that's still ignorant today that God needs to get the word to. Or we wouldn't still be here. She has to be redeemed in order to come to him. Do you see it? She has to be redeemed to come to him. Oh my. See, it couldn't have happened then. The redemption was going on. Is going on. Now you see the seals? Am I asking that question? The redemption was going on. Now you see the seals? As he's opened it and he's pointed back and said, I was redeeming you all this time. He's pointing that out to us. When he was in his mediatorial work back there redeeming, but someday he comes forth to get this book that he's redeemed. So this book is these people. So he can't go get the people until they're going to know him when he comes to get them. So they got to recognize him. So he has to get that to them. How to recognize him. So he's already got in their hearts what they are. They're predestinated. But he has to get that message, that anointed message to them so they'll recognize him. Mm-hmm. And he didn't just do it overnight. He took a long time to do it. And Brother Gumbo went and he showed how it went down into the ground and came up here a while back. Someday it comes forth to he comes forth to get this book that he's redeemed. How are we going to know it when he comes to get that book? It's going to be a message. Because he didn't get the book to not take what he's redeemed. He come to get his people. He come to get the book. He come to get his people. And in every age, there was a little bit. Brother Brown, you know how we don't know the mysteries. We didn't know the mysteries until the seals were open of every church age. Brother Brown said it was a little left off in every church age. And at the end, the last messenger wraps all that up. And so every one of those ages was type. All of them. And all that's in this book would be him. For that's the believer. The believer is that book. The words in the book and the word is him. It's the same thing. And all that's in that, he come forth for his book this book of redemption. See, this is the wisdom of God. He's making it known by coming and getting his book. Those names are written on the book before the foundation of the world when he was slain as a lamb. If you go look, a lot of places Brother Bram talks about where the scripture uses the word names and names, it's always talking about people. When he was slain as a lamb, and here he is today in his word manifesting the same thing he did there. Now, don't miss that. Let's go back. I want to not miss something here. All right. Christ, the mystery of God. So he come to get the book. Now, what did he say in that first quote? Let's go back just for a second. The very first thing he said was, in that very first quote, sorry, I'm getting there a second. We're going to take our time, okay? Because I don't want to miss it. Don't want you to miss it. The believers whose names is written on that book of life, predestinated from the foundation of the world. He said that was finished, okay? Now the next quote, after that first one, being that Adam was not deceived, he walked out with Eve. Eve was deceived. She was in the transgression, or the entire resurrection of the whole body would have came forth at that day. Why couldn't she come forth? Because she couldn't recognize him. When he comes, he has to recognize him. Now look what he said here. Now, where were we? Let's see. We were at paragraph 525. And here he is today. Wasn't going to come until they could recognize him. But here he is today. In his word, manifesting the same thing he did there. So he's come back. Yeah. And he's manifesting the same thing he did there. Because they're going to get it now. She can't recognize another headship. He's here and she's not going to recognize another one. She's going to recognize this one. The one that's here. The headship that's here. And what did those dreams say? Brother Branham was sitting at the head of the table and he had that wig on. And authority had been given. The wisdom of God was taking place. This is who he had chose to speak. He chose to be his mouthpiece in this day. He chose to be the voice of the Son of Man. Remember what he said? He said, the Son of Man, a Son of Man, revealing the Son of Man. The voice of the Son of Man. That was the voice of the Son of Man. And God made it clear who he was. He knew the thoughts and intents of all of any heart he needed to know. He knew it. God knew that. Brother Branham couldn't do that. So God was making it known. Here's my wisdom. I'm putting it in front of you. I chose this. I made it this way. And I'm putting this wisdom in front of you. Because it's my mind. And I have made it known to the people. This is what I have decided to manifest and bring about. And here he is today. In his word. Manifesting the same thing he did there. She can't recognize another headship. No, sir. There's no bishop, no nothing. She recognizes one headship. She couldn't recognize it back there. He done said it. We just read it, didn't we? But now, somehow or another, she can recognize it. And what did he just say in that paragraph before that? When he's on his mediatorial work back there redeeming, but someday he comes forth to get this book that he's redeemed. Someday he comes forth to get this book, to get these people that couldn't recognize him before. Now he comes to get them because they can recognize him. She can't recognize another headship. Okay. She recognizes one headship, and that's Christ. And Christ is the Word. In every age, it was there. Oh, my. Ooh, I love that. Uh-huh. Yes, sir. So let's back up just a minute, and let's look at something here. This is what Brother Branham is preaching on, the breach between the seven church ages and the seven seals. The Lamb stepped up. The elder said, a lion has overcome, and the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And John looked to see the Lion, and there come a Lamb, shaking, blood on him, wounds, he had prevailed. You could tell he'd been in battle. He'd been slain. But he was alive again. John hadn't noticed this Lamb before. He hadn't seen the Lamb. He hadn't noticed it before. You know, before, you know here, he hadn't been mentioned before. Nowhere had it been mentioned. John, looking at all this that had took place, but nowhere had it been mentioned about a lamb. Nowhere had it been mentioned. John didn't see it all over the heavens as he was looking. But here it come forth. Notice where it come forth from. Come forth. Where did it come from? It come from the Father's throne, where he'd been seated since he'd been slain and raised again. He raised up and set up the right hand of God, set on the right hand of God, ever making living to make intercessions. Amen. Raised there today as an intercessor. Now, this is before the seals. Raised there today as an intercessor with his own blood to make intercession upon the ignorance of the people. You see that? He done cleaned them. It was done finished. He was still there because they were ignorant and they couldn't recognize him. And in every age, he's given a little more recognition and a little more recognition. Making intercession upon the ignorance of the people. Now, oh, that's the one I'm dependent on. He still was covered with bleach, the bleach of the forgiveness of sin. Laodicea, church age. Let us examine this first phrase, as many as I love. In the Greek, the emphasis is upon the personal pronoun I. It does not say, as many would feel he should say, as many as love me. Isn't that interesting? No, sir. We must never try to make Jesus the object of human love in this verse. No. It is the many that are the loved ones of God. Ones he knew and loved. It is his love in question, not ours. But so once again, we find ourselves glorying in his salvation, his purpose, and his plan, and we're confirmed even more strongly in the truth of the doctrine of the sovereignty of God. So it isn't about us. We've said this before, but you know, I don't think that Brother Branham brought that marriage and divorce in this day to only talk about how many times people could get married or not. Yeah. There was a spiritual part to that that people will read over because they don't want to read the message to start with. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to read what he said because he said things they don't like. And they'll read part of what he said and latch on to parts of it that they do like and leave off the other parts. The same as what we talked about there in the beginning, where you go one way with an argument and go this other way when God is there in the middle. And all that's there. But what we have to see is how totally dependent we are on Christ. And Brother Branham, you talk about losing your identity. The woman loses her identity in her husband. She's not running out here trying to make an identity and a name for herself. She has her identity in her husband. That's why Brother Branham said Sarah called Abraham Lord. Her identity was in him. Her life was for him. Now you think about the spiritual part of that. And you think about the day we're living in, the last age that's gone into chaos, the people's rights. Individual people's rights. They're doing whatever they want to do. That's Satan's religion running wild. And they take it and they run it right straight into what they call Christianity. And they'll proclaiming that they're Christians and proclaiming that they're all these things. Like they've done something themselves. Like they made it happen. And they're this and they're that. All this self-righteousness and stuff. And I want us to see and to realize you're not going to recognize him unless you recognize who you are. You come from him. Everything he gives you, he gave you. Everything you got come from him. Everything. And when we realize that we got it because his wisdom, we realize we were part of his foreknowledge. We understand this part of it. We understand the message. We see the message, not with this thing, not with our heads. We understand it with the revelation that God put in us. It was his wisdom that should make us so happy that we were in his wisdom. And he's making his wisdom known. When I say wisdom, you know what I'm talking about. It's his judgment. He was righteous. He knew who would and who would not. He knew. There was no question about it. Since this portion of the word is hard for the human mind to grasp, it must be accepted and believed by faith. Some will be offended by what I have set forth because they fail to understand the sovereignty of God that sets forth that God is God, and because he is God, one cannot defeat his counsels or thwart his will and purpose. And thwart, y'all know what thwart means, right? To go around or to bring it down or to change it. You can't thwart his will and his purpose. Everything is happening. But he, being omnipotent, is ruling in all affairs. All. Everything that's taking place, he's ruling in all affairs and is doing whatever he will with all his creation because all were created for his good pleasure. Therefore, as Paul said, if a God should take of a lump, one lump of clay and make of that the same lump one vessel unto honor and another vessel unto dishonor, who can be offended and cry against him? Because he knew that he has the right to do this on the grounds of creation alone, we cannot deny. Yet he went even further, for according to Romans 14:7-9, we have the irrefutable proof that Jesus paid the price of the whole world, and therefore he can do as he wills with his own. Amen. This is a different part of the Church Age's book. Now, if we impute omniscience to God, now I'm going through this part here because I want you to see that he was ruling in everything down through the ages. When he was bringing this, getting rid of her ignorance, the bride's ignorance, and bringing her to him, then he was ruling in all things. And even to the point, well, I don't know if I cut that part out, but here, we'll just go into this. Now, if we impute omniscience to God, means he knows all things, we must also accept that he is perfect in wisdom and righteousness. He's perfect in his wisdom and his righteousness. this plan of election and reprobation. Creating one lump of clay to one and one clump of clay to another. One to honor, one to dishonor. This plan of election and reprobation is the wisdom of God revealed in all ages. So him knowing who would and who not, would not, and him laying it out through there, as we see things go down through the ages, we see it's the wisdom of God. He's making it known. In all ages, even. As it says in Ephesians 1, 3 through 11. So what about our lives? The same. What about our own lives? So many times we let Satan try to tell us that God's doing it because of this and God's doing it because of that. This is happening in my life because of this and it's happening because of that. When where we should be is locked on him and settled on him and let him do what he wills. And if he wants to change something, doesn't it say the bride will know what his will is? Then he's obligated to give his will to you so that you know what to do. You're his responsibility. See, every time we get away from that idea that we're his responsibility, we get in trouble. Because there's only two ways to go. You're either his responsibility or you take your own responsibility, which we don't want. We read in the last service, we're born defeated. We want him to take our responsibility. We want to recognize that he's our responsibility, that we're his responsibility. So Sardesian church age. Now this, I want to show even further what we just talked about, how that he's down through the church ages. Brother Bram said, the Bible said, just let it grow, let them grow together. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Now he just told us we weren't worthy on our own. We've read that a bunch of places. So who made us worthy? And why? And how did they walk in white? It's because of him. See, of course, the word names means people. As it says in Acts 1:15, concerning those in the upper room, the number of names together were about 120. But to me, it goes far beyond just signifying people. It brings out the truth that is set forth in every age. Now, he just said that we just saw the wisdom of God brought forth in every age. And this is the truth that's set forth in every age, which was spoken to us by our Lord with great emphasis. It is this. The church system of the ages is made up of two vines, true and false. God, in his own sovereign purpose, has put them together. God put them together, calling them the church. See in this age how he has rebuked them, saying unto the churches, which is not churches, are. Saying unto the church, which is not churches, are in Sardis. But lumping them together. Lumping the group of them together and calling them the church. See what he's saying? Both the ones that are walking in white and the ones that aren't. But lumping them together, the church which is. I know thy works. You are dead. Your works are unfulfilled. And then he goes on. Though this church in Sardis hath a few people in you that are right and are not wrong like the majority, these walk in clean garments, and they are worthy of me. We walk in clean garments because of him. He's dressed us in his word, and they are worthy of me. We're worthy because of him. Now, these people that were the true saints of God were walking, all pleasing unto the Lord. Their garments were clean. You see, in those days, the garments would sweep along on the road and pick up dirt and defilement. And these were watching how they walked so that they were not corrupted. So how did they know how to walk? So that they didn't get corrupted. God was redeeming them. He was showing them how to walk. This is me, walk this way. So they were not corrupted by the world. They were in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. They were holy and without blame before Him. Thus, they were fulfilling their purpose for that is what Ephesians 1:4 says is the purpose of God for us, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. That was the purpose of God, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. And He's bringing it. He's brought it to pass. In the Pergamon church age, if the moderns live in sin, no one says anything about it. But let one of the elect get into trouble, and every paper blasted across the country. Yes, Israel had her back, carnal parts. They had their side that wasn't praiseworthy. But in spite of their imperfections, in spite of all that, by the purpose of God that works through election, the purpose of God works through election, by grace and not by works. It works by Him and not by us. They had the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. They had the smitten rock, the brazen serpent, and the signs and the wonders. They were vindicated, not in themselves, but in God. Remember, if you go read that message, Works is Faith Expressed. Brother Brandon will talk about that some more. All right, so let's back up just a minute, a little bit further. And everybody knows what Brother Brandon talked about, going beyond the curtain of time. And I wanted to pick up just a little bit of that, that he told us why he was there. And I've hit on this before, but it was just really come so clear to me the other day, I wanted to bring it here. The rejected king, paragraph 146, starting part of the way down there. I said, but there's millions. There's not that many Branhams. And that voice said, they're not Branhams. Them's your converts. That's the ones you've led to the Lord. And said, some of them women there that you think are so beautiful were better than 90 years old when you led them to the Lord. No wonder they're screaming, our precious brother. They screamed all at once. If you hadn't have went, we wouldn't be here. Think about it. This is all God taking place. That's God in them speaking. It was God in Brother Branham that brought the message. They're speaking about that. This is God being manifest in people. This is His book. See? I looked around and I thought, well, I don't get it. I said, where's Jesus? I want to see Him so bad. And they said, now, He's just a little higher. Right up that way. Said, someday He will come to you. Did we see that happen? Mm-hmm. Now, I want you to keep listening to what He says. Someday He will come to you, you see. Said, you were sent for a leader. And God will come, and when He does, He'll judge you according to what you taught them first. That's the first thing He'll do. Whether they go in or not, they'll go in according to your teaching. will go in according to your teaching." And I said, "Oh, I'm so glad. Did Paul, does he have to stand like this? Does Peter have to stand like this?" And they said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, then I've preached every word they preached. I never divvied." This is 1960, remember. "I never divvied from it one side to the other. Were they baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? I did too. Were they taught in the baptism of the Holy Ghost? I did too. Whatever they taught, I did too." Who did that? God did that. The wisdom of God did that. Because they would not have recognized it if it had not been the wisdom of God that was being made manifest. And then people screamed and said, "We know that. And we know we're going with you someday back to the earth." Said Jesus will come and you'll be judged according to the word that you preached us. You'll be judged according to this word he just said he preached. And then, if you're accepted at that time, which you will be, and said, then you will present us to him as your trophies of your ministry. Said, you will guide us to him. None of them's going to see Jesus without that ministry. You see that? You will guide us to him. And all together we'll go back to the earth to live forever. They're waiting. Those that were beyond the curtain of time were waiting for him to guide them to him. You see that? I didn't catch that till just the other day. I mean, I knew it was something there more, but let's just keep reading. You will guide us to him, and all together we'll go back to the earth to live forever. Said, do I have to return back now? Yes, but keep pressing on. All right, so let's go down in this message called Ashamed. Now, this is the first message he preached when he got back from Africa. The last message he preached was choosing of a bride. So those thoughts are still on his mind when he comes in here and he's bringing this message. Ashamed. Prepare us, Lord. And at the end of the service now. Prepare us, Lord, that we might be able, in a real Christian way, to bring sinners to you. Because he has to prepare us to bring sinners to him. That's the only way it'll happen. And to bring church members to a knowing that God, the God that we know, that we have met personally, let him become their God too. Now, Father, we cannot send them in, but thou, Holy Spirit, move upon the people, the members of the churches. And as the little experience I had with you the other morning, go get my son a bride. And what did they just tell him up here? You will guide us to him. Down here he gets this message. Go get my son a bride. Take it from among the people, among the churches. Pull out that bride. Let me in prayer now, Lord. You send the Rebecca, and I'll try to be the Eliezer. Help me to be a faithful servant. And may the God of heaven send his angel before me, before us, that we will collect the things together and select the bride that he has chosen. We'll select the bride he's chosen. And the only way you can be that is if he is Christ to the people. The only way you can be anything, be a witness, is if you're Christ to the people. Because if it's Christ in them, that's the only thing that's going to recognize. That's the only headship they'll recognize.
that he would recollect the things together and select the bride that he has chosen. We ask it in Jesus' name. Now, let's look at how he's been doing this all along. Abraham and Sarah's body was transformed to meet the condition of the promised word. Without him transforming them by his word, by faith in his word, they couldn't receive the promised son, not in those bodies. See, they were old. Abraham had received the promise and Sarah, Abraham had received the promise and Sarah, when he was 75 and she was 65, past menopause, lived with her since she was a girl, was a half-sister, and to keep that promise, both of their bodies were transformed. To keep the promise, transforming had to happen. From an old man and woman to a young man and woman to meet the promise of the day. What's the promise of the day? Christ. He's broke the seals. And Christ has come. He's the promise of the day. And they can't receive it unless he does some kind of transforming for them to receive it. Glory to God. That makes me feel so good, see? I don't care what I was. I don't care how I come here. We can be transformed to meet the promise of this day. That's why we don't look at our past no more. We're in him. This is all about him. I don't care. I come here, how I come here, we can be transformed to meet the promise of God of this day. When we can dwell together in unity and sweetness of the Holy Spirit and live as brothers and sisters. Enoch, his whole body was transformed to meet a type in God. God's wisdom taking place there, right in his Bible, to meet a type that could be used later for, by his prophets in God, and he was taken to heaven without seeing death. Enoch was. Elijah done the same. Jesus' body was transformed from the dead, cold form, pulped, beat until his bruises and his ribs stuck through his back, and his heart was run through with a spear, probably that wide, stabbed right through his heart, and the blood and water came, even the moisture from his body left. And the blood run down the spear and off his feet and trickled onto the ground. And it was so he was so dead until the moon and the stars said he was dead. And the earth said he was dead. Had a nervous prostration. The earth recognized the wisdom of God taking place. Because look what he said is happening to it. A nervous prostration. The rocks shook out of the earth and everything. Everything said he was dead. Even God hid his face. He was dead. But his body was transformed. No matter how destroyed, and dead he was, he could still transform it. That's what he's talking about. The power of God's transformation, his word. Why? Because God said, I'll not leave his soul in hell, neither will I suffer my Holy One to see corruption. Why was it transformed? Because the word said, I won't leave him there and I won't leave him like that. And where does the and that's why that word being your word is so important. It has to be your word. If it's not yours, it's not him, give it to you and you possess it because he made you a possessor. If it's not that, then it's nothing. Amen. And if it's that, he is obligated to it. He brings it to pass. He's done all this to show you who you are. He put it in your predestination. It's like he put it in that little woman. So that when he walked by that day and done those things, she would recognize it. And by recognizing it, realize who she was. She wasn't this woman that ran around with all these husbands. That wasn't her. She was a child of God. She wasn't that. And that's what he's trying to tell us here. and among other things. But his body was transformed. Why? Because God said. That's why it was transformed. These things took place simply because God said it, and Jesus believed it. And he went around telling people, not just to make a show. He went around and told them, he said, go ahead, destroy this body, and I'll raise it up again in 3 days. And he said that because the scripture said that. Everything was tied to what God said. It meant something to the people. I'll not leave his soul in hell, neither will I suffer my Holy One to see corruption. There is no way to do it. See? And it was wrote that it won't happen, so there's no way it's going to happen. See? Some of these days, our bodies might be stretched out in a casket. We may come, you may come and look upon me laying in the casket. I may come and look upon you, might have to say those last words over you or something like that. And how many times have we went to a funeral and we look at somebody laying there in a casket? And how many of you has never had it come across your mind that one day you'll be there in that casket? It's ever present. It doesn't leave the back of your mind. It always stays there. And we know. See, if we know him, that's when it takes the fear of it away. It takes the sting of it away. It has no power over us then. And then we're like Paul, writing. He's going to get just a little bit more to the bride before they take him out. He's just writing. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness and for all them who love him. Think about it. No fear. He said it himself. He said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. You talk about believing what you say. You're not going to get by in this day not believing what you say you believe. It's not going to happen. I may come and look upon you, might have to say the last words over you or something like that. But you'll never keep us in the grave. They may lay rocks over you. They may bury you in the sea. They may do whatever they want to. But the transforming power of God in 2 Thessalonians said, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning those that are asleep. For we say this to you, too, by the commandments of the Lord, that the trumpet of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain, as the song has said this morning, shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. The transforming power of God that's taken us from the chaos of science and education. Now he's coming home now. He's bringing it down personal. These are the things that people rely on. Science and education, and he calls it a chaos. And the things of the world and the understanding of the modern day. And he's transformed us now into sons and daughters of God. You see that? Before we didn't act like sons and daughters of God. Now we are sons and daughters of God. By transforming. And even death itself can never hold us in the grave. We'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Oh, you mean to say? I mean to say that's the truth. Jesus, the Word, stood on the earth, which was the Word, the one that was raised up and raised Lazarus. And he said, I am the resurrection and life. This is before he was ever crucified. He's telling them who he is. He's identifying himself. I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now he's telling us that's what's happening. The transformation of God's word is bringing this to pass that Jesus said. That he's the resurrection and life. And us believing in him, though he were dead, yet shall we live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. There is no way to stop the living word of God. It's got to rise again. And from out of this chaos of this modern scientific Eden that we're living in, of culture and science and education, all this modern stuff will rise. This robe of flesh will drop and rise and seize the everlasting prize someday. We'll go through the air, and this will be over. For the word of God that's brought us from this modern thinking of our mind. You remember how we were all born? You remember how it was before you were born again? Thinking of our mind, transforming our mind into the renewing of our hearts towards God and our spirits. That's that same spirit that spoke that has transformed us this far. And it will also, and it also will take us into his presence, into his glory. Then what did he say that they told him? That you'll lead us to him. You will guide us to him. They told the prophet that, the ones over there. Right here he's saying, and he will, in the same spirit that spoke those words, has transformed us this far, and it also will take us into his presence, into his glory, with the glorified body. They shall build houses, they shall inhabit them, they shall plant vineyards. In all of our scientific search, we plant a garden, our sons come along and take the fruit from it. And his sons come and take it from him. And they plant and another one eats. And they build and another one inhabit. But long will be the days of my servants. They will be there and their offsprings with them. They will build and another will not inhabit. They'll plant and not another eat thereof. What? The very God, the very prophet that the word of God said, a virgin shall conceive, promised us this. So he's transforming that too. Every word of it, he's transforming it to us now. How do we get it? We are potentially there right now, see? Because God said so. How are we potentially there? Because God said it. It has to be. When he raised Lazarus there, said, don't think this is strange. For the hour is coming when all that's in the grave will hear the voice of the Son of Man. Who heard the voice of the Son of Man back there? That was Lazarus. And he come forth. He said, don't think it's strange, because one day all that's in the grave is going to hear the voice of the Son of Man and shall come forth. The voice of the Son of Man will bring them forth. You see that? And shall come forth and come, and some to shame and some to life. What is it? Transforming. What is that? What he just talked about. The voice of the man, the voice of the Son of Man, bringing them forth to life and some to shame. What is it? Transforming by the word of God. Making us sons and daughters of God. And will also give us life in the world to come. Oh my, what more could I say? Listen not to other things. Sounds like the Eliezer to me. But remember, the promised word of God by the mouth of Jesus Christ, the very God that spoke creation into existence, he was the one before the foundation of the world that spoke the words, and let there be, and there was. For he said, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. But as many, you talk about oneness, you look at that statement. He, the one that created everything, was in the world, and the world knew him not, even though he's the one made it all. But as many as did know him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. What was that? That predestination. The very creator The very Creator himself, when he raised up Lazarus from the dead, said, "Think this is not strange, for the hour is coming, that when all that's in the grave shall hear the voice of the Son of Man and shall come out." The voice of the Son of Man, not the voice of the Son of God, not the voice of the Son of David, the voice of the Son of Man, and shall come out. The very God that said, "Let there be light," said the voice of the Son of Man would wake those that are in the grave. The voice of the Son of Man would wake them. It has to happen in its season. He spoke, "Let there be a male and female," and so forth, and all this, years and hundreds of years before it happened. But that voice is what wakes them, man. But now let's listen to what he includes in that voice. Revelations 22:17, the Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." What do they say come to? It's the Spirit and the Bride together. So they're not going to say anything the Spirit don't say. And they're calling to come to Christ. The corn of wheat, the bride wheat that fell into the ground at Nicaea, has come back to the original word grain again. Praise God forever. Yes, listen to the authenticated prophet of God who appears in this last age. He didn't say, "Listen to me, William Branham." No more than Jesus said, "Go baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." They knew what the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost was. It was Jesus Christ. And we know who the prophet is that God has authenticated. Listen to the authenticated prophet of God who appears in this last age. What he says from God, the bride will say. The Spirit and the prophet and the bride will be saying the same thing. And who did he say was put outside the church? Christ was put outside the church. So where's the bride? She's with him. If she came to him when he called, she come out of it, and she's with him. And now she's a part of that's calling to those to come out. What he says from God, the bride will say. The Spirit and the prophet and the bride will be saying the same thing. And what they will say will have already been said in the word. They are saying it now. Come out from among her now and be ye separate. He let them run all together all that time through the church ages. So just that one statement alone that they're making. Come out from her and be ye separate. God's doing something different than he did in the church ages when he let them go together. And what did he say about the man of sin? Just let it go on and then we'll tell who the man of sin is at the end. We'll expose him. They are saying it now. Come out from among her now and be ye separate. The cry has gone out. What did he say the Son of Man was going to do? Was going to speak. The voice of the Son of Man would wake those that are in the grave. Come out from among her now and be ye separate. The cry has gone out. The cry is going out. And what is the cry? We made some cry this morning. We've been talking about it. How that you don't go on your own. You have to follow him. This is a faith. The very first message there of Luther was, the just shall live by faith. We walk by faith. We don't walk by head knowledge. We don't get something to somebody by head knowledge. It don't happen. I don't care who says it does. It don't happen. The cry has gone out. The cry is going out. How long will the voice cry? We do not know. But one thing we do know, it won't be long, for this is the last age. Man, he's calling
He's right there telling them they're being called out of that age. Being called out into eternity. Brother Bram said he was put out of the age. And was knocking, trying to get back in. That's the spirit. Knocking, trying to get back in. Man, I tell you. I remember Brother Holmes, a few months before he died, he was preaching and he said, he stopped and he started talking about how he just stayed in the study all the time. He said he just, I mean, when he felt he had strength, you know, he would just stay in the study and just rejoice. And brother and sister, that's what this is about. This is about our inheritance. Yeah. And sometimes we let Satan pull us this way and that way to where we ever our mind's on everything else, but our inheritance. And it's not just inheritance that we're going to get. It's an inheritance he's given us. It's ours now. He just let him bring it to pass. He does it in his time, but all these words are ours. Jesus didn't have to decide when that was going to happen. He said, you destroy this body, and in 3 days, God will raise it up again. All he had to do was stand on that word. No matter how stupid or silly it sounded to people, it doesn't matter. He just stood on the word. And God brought it to pass. Look how many times he done that through the message, through the Bible. Look at Abraham, how they made fun of Abraham. And God brought it to pass. Made fun of Moses. God brought it to pass. They made fun of all of them. They made fun of the three Hebrew children. And God brought it to pass. They tried to do all that stuff to Daniel. And God brought it to pass anyway. They couldn't stop it from happening. Because God's wisdom was taking place. And you're not going to thwart his wisdom. You're not going to thwart his predestination, which is his will. You're not going to stop his will. And why would you not want to take his will, which is his word, and stand on that? Because then you're unstoppable. Because God's going to prove it. Because he's unstoppable in his will. We've saw it. We've got to witness it. We're not like those were back there that hadn't. Didn't have a Bible. Brother Bram said Job didn't have a Bible. Except what he could see taking place around him. And we got all this laying out in front of us. Got it on tape. We got all the testimonies. No matter what some silly person on the internet tries to surmise and make up. And I'll tell you. I was thinking the other day. You know, they're talking about the date. That's the biggest thing they all get worked up about is that the cloud picture when it was took and when Brother Bram said he was up there. And if the prophet said it, that was the angels, that's good enough for me. I don't care what day they think it was taken, who said it was taken when or what it was taken. I don't care when they saw it. Brother Ram said it happened that day. So it happened that day. If they saw it 2 days before that or 3 days after it or whatever, I don't care. They're not taking this message out of my heart. Amen. No, this message is living in there. And no bunch of nonsense like that's going to take it out. They can go back and do the same thing with the Bible. You can go back and go get the Bible where it talks about Saul. Was it Saul? Yeah, when Saul was killed. They talked about he done it himself or something. And then another one come along and said he asked somebody to do it. And both of those are in the Bible. So you can go and they do. People go get those and say, oh, that's inaccuracy. It's not right. He didn't say it. And then they'll go. You can go get the New Testament and go do the same thing. Go get Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Go get Matthew. Look at Matthew 25 where it talks about the marriage, if a woman leaves her husband, one says one thing and one says another. Mm-hmm. Brother Ram said Matthew 5, and that's what he took. And if you go get the diglot, one of them that says something else says the same thing as Matthew 5 does. See, they can go get anything they want and mix it all up. And Brother Ram said they come to him and they was like, well, Brother Ram, we need to make the Bible. We need to figure out the Bible, the language that they used back then. Then we'll figure it out. And he's like, they was arguing over it back then.
when they were still speaking that language. It's not going to fix it. It takes the Holy Spirit to fix it. And I just am happy, you know, to take it. Those things don't faze me a bit. That stuff don't faze me at all. It makes me sad that somebody would believe it and go off after it, but it don't make me doubt it one iota of this message. No, Brother M says too late. He said, they come try to tell him there's no such thing as divine healing. No, it's too late. There's done been thousands of it taking place. Well, they come tell you there's no such thing. He's not a prophet. Well, it's too late. Because he's done, Christ through him done made the Bible live in this person. Amen. And not me only. There's more. A bunch. A bunch sitting here. A bunch all over the world. And so, I so appreciate him. And I appreciate y'all listening to me blubber and stink and stutter around and stuff. But I tell you, it's alive, and I appreciate it so much. You pray for me in the study. Pray for Brother Goomba. I think he's going to minister next Sunday. So we'll just be praying for him, and pray for me for Wednesday. Pray for them that's sick. We're going to go get them something, take them something to eat after here. But just... they've went through it. It's been rough. And so remember them. Let's pray. You'll stand and let's pray. Father, we're so thankful that you saw fit in your wisdom, Lord, to show us the message. Show us your truth. Reveal yourself to us, Lord. Unfold yourself as your children. And Lord, honor doesn't even begin to touch how it feels, Lord. You can't express it with words, but just as much as a human can, Lord, know that we appreciate it. And pray, Lord, that you'll go with the Brother Guma and the family, Lord, and heal them up quick. Lord, bring them through. Each one that's not here this morning, be with them, Lord. The ones that are listening in, whatever requests are on their heart, Lord. And Father, Brother Don that's over there laboring, we pray you'll just keep pouring that anointing in there and helping the people there, Lord. Bring us all up closer around your table. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.